Blog Talk Radio.
Today we're in Matthew
all New Testament, and I can tell you, wow, when I was studying it, how awesome it is. Because when you think about Jesus, he did not care who you were. He helped everybody that he was supposed to help. And he told us why he was here, who he was here for. He was not here for everybody. Even though, yes, he could help everybody. Yes, he could do everything. But he was not here for everybody. And as you read this word and as we study today, you will see that he was here for a particular reason. And healing the sick was part of why he was here. So that folks knew who he was. He was the Son of God. He had power in his hand. He could do all things but fail. And he gave us that power. Not all, but some. If you're called, if you have that anointing, if you have whatever it is that God has given you, then yeah, you can do a lot of things, including it. You know, I tell my pastor all the time, because I'm going to tell y'all, my pastor has laid hands on me, and I have healed of some stuff. I believe that. I believe she has healing hands. That is a gift. And I am grateful that I have been a recipient. Everybody does not have a healing hand. So you can't help let everybody just lay their hands on you. You got to have discernment and ask God for discernment of who you should allow to lay hands on you. Because some folks laying hands on you could be giving you some spirits that you don't want, that you bring home and don't even know that you brought them home. You wonder why all of a sudden things start getting in this way. Start wondering why all of a sudden things, your finances are fine. Start wondering why all of a sudden everybody's car is breaking down. All these things are starting to happen. You're like, what is going on? Did you allow somebody to lay hands on you that wasn't supposed to? You got to be very, very careful. You know, God just gave me this to tell his children, be careful who you allow to put their hands on you. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, and I, that's just the word that gave me to share. So let's get into our word that we are sharing. So Matthew chapter 8 will be in Matthew chapter 8 to chapter 9. Actually, yeah, we'll be in Matthew 8, 9, and 10. So let's get started. And can I say it? It is a great word this morning. Y'all know I had to go there. A great word this morning. And we are in Matthew 8, and it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. He cleansed immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see, that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you and his servant, and his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he took her in, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took out infirmities and bore our sickness. Whew, hallelujah, what a word. Let's be continued. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and said, awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Read that again. I got to read that again. Now when he had got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Jesus was like, oh, cool. He fell asleep. Was probably sleeping real good. Because I know I slept real good. I feel so revived this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we pour the word into ourselves, we get revived. Jesus was revived. Even the Lord got tired. When he was a man. But he was tired. He was asleep. He was probably sleeping good. That, you know how the water just kind of lulls you to sleep? And he was probably getting lulled to sleep. The water was just easing down on the river, on the boat. And then this tempest came. And it was a test. Let's call it. I believe in my heart it was a test. For the disciples to be and said, no, that they were with the Savior. They didn't have to worry about the tempest. They didn't have to worry about anything. But let's keep it going. And this is what it said. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. And he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you are little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be? That even the winds and the sea obey him. When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gerasene, men that met him, two demon-possessed men. And it depended on which words, which of the gospels you see, this story is a little different. In Matthew, it's two men, but I believe it's in Luke, it's one. Let me go look real quick, but I think it's in. Oh, let me look. Hold on just a minute, y'all. But if I'm not mistaken, it's in Luke that it talks about the same story, but it's one man naked and they chain him up and he breaks the chain and he comes out and, you know, he speaks to Jesus. And Jesus sends the legion, because he had a legion. So this is, it seems like the same story is different from Matthew than what was in the other gospel. So let's read it. We'll read this story again, but it'll be one man instead of two. So it says this, and when he had come to the other side of the country of Gerasene, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? got good way off from them. That was the art of the ministry. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violent down to the place in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Wow. Nobody could come that way because of these demon-possessed men. Couldn't come that way. Nope. Keep it moving. Cannot come in. In today's word, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. And this is actually where our title for today is coming out of. And our title today, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know, that was where Jesus, he had mercy on the centurion servant. He had mercy on the leper. He had mercy on us. Hallelujah. God just wants us to be obedient. He wants our obedience. And as we continue, this word says this. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, this man is blasphemous. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, arise. Pick up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to me. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. That happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick come. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And this is a word that we need to put in our heart as to why he came. And this is Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus telling us why he came. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. That's why he was here. He told us, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Jesus came. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some of us live in sin. Some of us have sinned. Some of us will sin. But Jesus came for us. He came for the good. He came for the bad and he came for the ugly. But he came mostly for the bad and the ugly who need to repent. The good are the righteous. He said, I didn't come for y'all. I came for the folks that are doing wrong. I came for the folks that need you to take their sins to the cross. And that's what he did. All the righteous, but sinners to repent. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That's what it tells us. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Jesus came for all of us, the non-perfect, the sinners that need to be saved. And, you know, we have so many of the religious sects that want to be so high and mighty and all thinking they got it going on. In all honesty, so many are not perfect. None of us are. We all fall short. But we get up. We dust off. We sick off. We ask God for forgiveness. We repent. We just say, forgive me, Lord, and think you done did something. No. You got to truly repent. And do what thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to tell us, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Well, wow. Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. But the hat pulls away from the farm and tears is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wine. Or else the wine skin breaks, the wine is spilled, and the wine skins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wine skins, and both are preserved. And because I just feel this word continue, we're going to go keep in Matthew chapter 9, and we will not have a New Testament. Word on tomorrow will be in the Old Testament. Because I just feel this word needs to continue. Then he goes on to say, why he spoke these things to him, and the ruler came and worked them, saying, my daughter has just died. But come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute player, and the noisy crowd wailed. He said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but asleep. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all that room. When Jesus departed from there, so understand, way before Lazarus had died, the disciples had seen Jesus raised someone from the dead. This baby girl was dead, and Jesus raised this little girl. First, she was 12 years old, and he went in, and she was made whole. What did he say? And if again, in a different text, he says, and he says, he's going to basically get the baby some food. Call her Sheila, little girl. He told her to wake up. But in Matthew, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead. He went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. Healed the sick, raised the dead. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and said, Son of David, have mercy on us. Again, Matthew says too. But in another chapter, in another book, it says one. So, one and two, same story, different perspective. One says one, one says blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David. Have mercy on me. And that's what blind Bartimaeus said. Again, same story, different perspective. So this is from Matthew, but it could very easily be a same situation, different times, different verses. Different group. We don't know. We just go by what the word tells us. And in Matthew, it says there's two blind men who are crying out, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And we got to have a yes, Lord, in our spirit. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Somebody just can't hold on. And they went out. Behold, they brought to him a man. And when the demon was cast out, the man spoke. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. And Jesus went about all the cities. And we also know, and they said this in another book, Jesus said, a devil can't cast out another devil, right? We say, how the body cannot stand. But it just brings it down to, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. When Jesus went about, and they didn't mean for him to cast out, but he responded to them in other gospels. And as we continue, it says, and when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. I'm sealed up. This New Testament word is done something in the spirit. And we're going to go back some life lessons and examples for today, and then we'll go back and look at some keywords from Monday's lesson as far as life examples and life lessons. So in today's life lessons for Matthew, in Matthew 8 and 9, it says, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. You know, this man, this centurion, he recognized Jesus' authority. He recognized, right, as I say, birds of a feather. He was an authority. He was an authority in his troops. He was a commander. And he was a leader. And when you are a leader, you lead. When you're a follower, you follow. But he was a leader, and he understood that in whatever command Jesus gives, it's going to get done. Just like whatever command he gave, he got done. Believe me, I know I live with an army officer. And truly, I laughed today when Mr. Smith, Lieutenant Colonel Smith, was in the house. You know, and he started giving orders. It was like everybody in the house started doing what he was. I was like, but understand, he never gave anything, said anything to be done. And didn't he do it? And that we didn't need to do. But he didn't just give the command. He also helped do whatever needed to be done. And we did. It was a teamwork, because a teamwork, when the leader steps in and helps out the team better, and it goes farther. And I'm speaking as a supervisor in many different areas of my life. The one thing I knew, that when I said that we need to get something done, we got it done. But I didn't just tell my subordinates, well, you need to cross-train. I need everybody cross-trained on every position in the department. I didn't just say it. I did it. I crossed them with them. What they knew, I knew. Their jobs, I knew. And they knew each other's jobs. Because that was what I was given to do, the cross-train. Because when you cross-train, you are not held hostage by anybody. Somebody decides to leave and retire. Or retire. You got somebody to take their place. Because you have cross-trained them. The centurion understood that, listen, Dr. Stanley said, the centurion recognized that he's an authority far beyond what most observers detected. He trusted in the power and word of Jesus because he first saw and acknowledged the supernatural authority. He understood this man is in charge. And when you know, that's just like when you go into a church, even if the pastor is sitting in the audience, you know that's the pastor. something about them. They have an authority. They have a something that just sticks out. And you think, oh, it's a pastor. But something about that way the person sits, something about how they act, you know, that's the pastor. You know, that's whoever that person is. They're in charge. You can see it. You can feel it. And all you have to do is just watch. And you will know that's the one in charge. Because they ooze authority. Matthew 8:13 says to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And, you know, it was again faith. The centurion had faith. As he said, what is our word for today? Mercy. Jesus had mercy on his servant. Just like he had mercy on, he had mercy on Peter's mother-in-law. He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus came and he gave mercy to all of us. He wants us to have mercy for each other. We got to be merciful. You don't want, you know, falling out, all of that. It's fun. But Jesus wants us to be there to help each other. Just like he did. And he says, why in faith, such a powerful trigger for the miracles of God. God delights to extraordinary things for those who bank their lives on his goodness and mercy. When we exercise, we're telling him, I believe you. I believe you. We got to have I believe you, Lord, in our spirit every day. I believe you. The Lord woke you up this morning, didn't he? We got to believe and trust that God will wake us up tomorrow morning. His will. His will. And that's what I will be with you tomorrow morning. God's will. I will be with you this whole year as we study this word, God's will. It's all the will of God. We have no control of anything but our faith. And we got to be faithful and fearful that God is in charge. Faith, come on, fear is not of God. Faith is. But we have to have the fear of God. Let him know, Lord, I know you are in charge. I know that you are my God. You know, we are children. Come on, let's tell it to you. You fear your dad, fear your mother. When they say do something, you know you better do it. Because you didn't want to deal with the consequences of being disobedient. And that's the same thing with our Father God. We don't want to be disobedient children. We want to do what thus says the Lord. And why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith, is what Jesus said. That he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and that was a great calm. Now, understand, the disciples had been with him all this time. They had watched him heal the sea. They had watched him do all this thing. But when he calmed the wind, they say, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? You just followed him. You know he's a savior. And you are in awe that he calmed the wind of the sea. What did Jesus tell them? Oh, you a little faith. We got to have mustard seed faith. We can't be of little faith. We got to have big faith. That big things can be done in our life. That we can conquer the mountains that we see around us, can do what we need to do to get our houses in order and our spiritual houses, our physical houses, whatever your moral house, we got to get it in order. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. And it goes on to tell us, Dr. Stanley says, the storm terrified the disciples. But the storm terrified the disciples. Why the difference? And he goes and say, but it didn't so much as raise an eyebrow of the Lord. Why the difference? Because Jesus trusted that God would get them to the other side. Hallelujah. Can y'all say hallelujah with me this morning? He trusted that God would get them to the other side. In Matthew 9:2, when Jesus saw their faith, it would be hard to see faith if you never worked its way out of the meaningful action. If our faith does not affect the way we live or even get noticed by others, then perhaps it's not genuine faith at all. We got to have faith. If you are blind, you got to have faith that the Lord is going to get you out of sight. If you are lame, you got to have faith that the Lord is going to get you a pimp in yourself. Hallelujah. You got to have faith that everything is all good. You got to have faith. I have to, and I'm giving out some personal information on it, but it's to tell everybody to do what you need to do. Had a colonoscopy on yesterday, and that's why we did not have a show. I have faith that I was fine, that I did not have a follow-up, I didn't have anything. Because when you go in, you sign off that if there's any type of growth, anything in your colon that needs to be cleaned out, they will clean it out. You sign your document to say, if I have to have some type of surgery while I'm in here, that I'm giving you permission to do it. But when you know you're clean, and you know you've done everything that you're supposed to do, that you follow the rules, if you drink the stuff you were supposed to drink, if you drink the water you were supposed to drink, if you did everything you were supposed to do, you have faith that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And when I came out of the procedure, all I remember is looking at the nurse and saying, God is in charge. I believe. You know, I'm like, I just smiled. They were like, this woman is the happiest woman we ever seen coming through here. And talking to the nurses about God. God evangelized wherever you are. And I prayed with my son. My son prayed over me, which was a blessing. I was like, wow, he prayed over me. And, you know, we pray over each other every day. And I can just honestly say, I was fine. When I walked through those doors, when I was sitting there, listen, I prayed. I said, Lord, I know you're in charge. And the next thing I know, they was rolling me down the hallway back to the shelter. I remember a thing. All I know is I slept real good and slept the rest of the day. It felt good. I feel good this morning because I had peace for it. Because I know that I was clean. And we got to have a clean mind, a clean heart, and a clean spirit. But Jesus said to us, he desires mercy and not sacrifice. He wants us to be the best that we can be. And this is what Dr. Simmons said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Throughout the Bible, God wants our heart, not merely our lips. Can we say that? God wants my heart. Give me a clean heart and a right spirit within me, O Lord. He wants genuine devotion that results in beneficial action toward others, dutiful religious activity, nothing without devotion to God and a real concern for others, mercy and not sacrifice. God wants us to be merciful to not just ourselves, not just to ask for mercy, but to give mercy. You know, as we talked about the servant, the wicked servant, God, the master gave him mercy. But then he went and didn't give it back and lost the mercy that the master gave us. We don't want to lose the mercy that God has given us by being selfish, by being hurtful and not concerned about others. God wants us to love each other. But the one thing I was listening to a pastor speak the other morning on, and one of the things he says is that we ask, we forget. Be merciful. We forget to be kind. We ask God for everything under the sun, but we forget to give and to love and to care about others. that wicked servant for God to be merciful, as mercy was given to him. And folks will call you everything, stupid, dumb. You know, why are you helping them? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Not understanding that if you're going to ask God for mercy, you got to get mercy. If you're going to ask God to forgive your debt, then you got to forgive the debt of sin and others. We just studied the Lord's Prayer on Sunday. And the thing is that forgive us our debt. As we forgive our debtors, we got to ask God to forgive our debt of sin. As we forgive the debt of sin of others. Because it's been moved up, verse 14, it's been moved up into the place of forgive us our debt, into forgive us our temptation. And, you know, we can't change the word of God, but it has been changed. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day. We ask God to forgive us. But we got to forgive others. We got to forgive others. As God forgives us, we got to forgive others temptations as God has forgiven us. We got to forgive. We got to have compassion. We got to have love, and we got to have faith and not worry about what's going on. You don't have to worry about the clothes you're going to wear. God's going to provide. And has he not provided for you? Has he not given you what you need? Has he not taken care of you as his child? You know, we say, lead us not into temptation. Where is leading not into temptation? Up there. Just there. But, and we say, and forgive us our debt. It's what we should be saying, but forgive us our temptation. We ask God to forgive. I've forgotten how it's even said, because I've gotten so used the same, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debt. And lead us not into temptation. Mercy over sacrifice. Obedience over sacrifice. And as we get into Samuel, you'll see where this word comes from. We got to have obedience and mercy. Loving God in all we do. And loving each other in everything. You know, as we studied in our Genesis where God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And we know that what happened is Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed because God had mercy on Lot and God had mercy on Abraham. And when Abraham was told to take his son, didn't know. Didn't know that God was going to give him a ram in the bush. But he did. God was there. Mercy over sacrifice. And when we go into Psalms, return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me for your mercy's sake. Psalms 6 and 4. We do not ask God to rescue and deliver us because we deserve his help. We ask him to come to our aid because he loves to show mercy to his humble, obedient children. Mercy over sacrifice. And in Psalms 3 and 4, Proverbs 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck. Mercy without truth can lead to ungodly compromise. Truth without mercy can lead to unfeeling legalism. When we pursue both equally, and simultaneously we reflect the heart of God and bring him great pleasure. God wants us to be merciful. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Truthful and merciful. The Lord wants to give us favor. The Lord wants to love on us. The Lord wants us to be kind. Don't let folks talk you out of being kind. Don't let anybody tell you that your kindness is a weakness. Be kind to others. Be merciful. Have an understanding that, and ask God for discernment so that you're not being used either. Because there are usury spirits out there. Folks that will use you until they use you up. And once you in need, they ain't nowhere to be found. Now you have to be careful that your mercy and your kindness is not being given to a user of spirit. That is a discernment thing. You got to ask God for discernment on that. But be kind. And this is some of the things that Dr. Stanley said that I just want to share with you. The first is, first we should realize that even though we don't immediately become kind at salvation, we do have the potential to exhibit kindness because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit develops the quality of kindness in us. Second, we must eliminate those characteristics, actions, and attitudes within us that stop us from being loving, tenderhearted, and useful. We cannot be selfish. Brother, we must lay aside the characteristics that do not fit with who we are as believers in order for kindness to flow out of our life. Because I say it again, and I believe this. My husband used to say it, and I believe this is so true. When you open your hand to be kind, to offer a hand up, you never know that as your hand is up, God is offering you a hand up. What you offer, when your hand is open to give, but your hand is open to receive the blessings of the Lord. We got to open our hands instead of having them tight fit. Because a tight fit is what happens. If you look through it, there's a teeny tiny little hole where everything you got just flows right out of it. Because you have no room to stand in an hourglass. It just slowly falls out all your blessings. Because you don't have your hands up. Give and your hands up to receive. Your hand is balled into that fit. And you can't hold it all in, but something's going to slide out. If you have no mercy, you have no kindness. God is wanting mercy and kindness. And the third thing Dr. Stanley says is we must focus on the needs of other people. As long as we are focused on ourselves, our needs, wants, desires, and dreams, we are not going to be very kind. Yet when we focus on others, we will become sensitive to who they are and what they need in life. Because when we are sensitive to what others need, God is sensitive to what we need. Fourth, we must ask God to teach us to be kind. We must look to God to make us sensitive to the situations that need a special touch of kindness and to express his kindness through us. We do so with the hope that people will be attracted to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because he's your Savior. And when they see how you act, they want to act like that because they see the godliness in you. Because again, that cliche, you may be the only Jesus they see. And how you act is how they perceive the Savior. And if you act with an unkind, unmerciful heart, if you are not forgiving and loving and treating others the way you want to be treated, then you're going to deal with the same stuff. If we want to learn to be kind, we must practice kindness. Come on now. Every day we should ask the Lord, Father, please show me at least one person I can be kind to today. We should look for opportunities to be kind and praise God whenever we find them, knowing that God is working through us whenever we show kindness to others. Let your light shine. Don't put your light on the bushel, family. Let those that see you see the godliness of God in you. You know, we got to have an Abraham spirit of faith that whatever God tells you to do, because you don't know the blessing coming your way, God may be sending a ram in your bush. Love each other. Care about each other. Be merciful. because Jesus said, I want mercy over sacrifice. You know, and this is what in Genesis that we read on Monday. It came to pass for these things that God tested Abraham. And it said God permits testing for all of his children, including his own son, Jesus Christ. For Abraham, this had to be a dark time, but it lasted only so long as was necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in Abraham's life. And it goes on, and this Abraham has to, now think about this. This baby was born when this man was 100 years old. This baby was born when he was 100 years old. And then God tells him that he's got to sacrifice his child of promise. And then he tells his wife, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. He has faith that they will come back. He has faith. Abraham expressed confidence that both he and Isaac will return alive to the service, even though he intended to obey God's command to sacrifice his son. Abraham obeyed and trusted, though he did not understand. That was a word from the other, from Monday. And it says, and in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. The Lord will provide always. He may surprise us. He may perplex us. He may make us wait, but he will always provide exactly what we need when we need it. A ram in the bush. God will always provide. Don't get discouraged. That's a word for this morning, family. Mercy. Jesus came, come for the right. So even though you feel like I'm not worthy, you are. Because the word of God that was in our word on yesterday, the yesterday word would have been a proverb, but we read it on Sunday. And that's our proverb. We say it all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God is wanting to direct us. He's wanting us to know that it is all working for our good. All we have to do is believe. And one last thing before we get out, 6 and 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He said, how did the psalmist know that God has heard his prayer? How could he express such confidence that the Lord would answer his request? Through faith, he prayed in faith, and he expected an answer by faith, just like us. And I say today, Jesus is with us wherever we go. Just like we read, and we'll probably read it again tomorrow, with the woman with the issue of blood. She just knew all I got to do is get that. Even if it's just like, say, hey, on this corner, I know that I will be. That's what she did. And this is the word for today as we get ready to wrap up. And again, if there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak, just put the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open. I desire, let's go all the way to the beginning, go and learn what this is. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Throughout the Bible, this is what Dr. Sam tells us, throughout the Bible, God wants our hearts, not merely our lips. He wants genuine devotion to him that results in beneficial actions toward others. Dutiful religious activity means nothing without devotion to God and a real concern for others. So I thank God for all of you. I thank you for listening in this morning. If God is giving you a word for this word, a Monday's word, just push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. But understand that the Lord wants us, all of us. You know, when I was hungry, you fed. That was what was in our word. On Sunday, you know, from Matthew chapter 7, you know, Jesus said, I'm with you. And you say, well, when did I? You know, the Lord wants us to be kind. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. If you have a heart for God, do what God tells you to do. If God says to open up your home, open up. Because one day you may be the person that needs a place. If God tells you to get a meal and give a meal, then get a meal and give a meal. Because it may be your hungry one day. And he's going to bring you something. God says, help someone financially. Be helpful. Even when you don't have, God will provide for you. Keep doing what God says. Don't let anybody tell you that you be this and you be this. Because they don't know your heart. They have no heaven to send you. I know hell to put you in. You have no hell to put them in. No heaven to send you. We are all responsible for ourselves. Because we are all accountable to God. And when you stand before God, you're not standing for anybody. And when that book is open that's got your name on it, will your destination be up or will it be down? Will you get to walk through those pearly gates, through that narrow gate, or will you go to that big old gate that leads to the cross? How you treat others is what the Lord is for. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy. And what did Jesus say? Why did not come to call the righteous, but sinners? Ask God. Don't walk around with a whole bunch of stuff. Gotta sometimes take the medicine to get a clean. We all need a clean. Cold. Gotta make sure our heart. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. And as always, we have a word. We have a word from our sister in Christ. Evangelist, the line is open. Evangelist, the line is open. Oh, good. I'm sorry, Pastor Jesse, your line is open.
Yeah, I've been on for a while. Well, the whole hour. Great word.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, great word this morning. Great word. That's all I have to say this morning. Enjoy every moment of it this morning. Love you and have a blessed day.
Well, I love you too. And as I said, when you walk in the door, you know this woman is the pastor. Whether she's sitting in the audience or in the pulpit. And I just thank God for you as well, Pastor. And before we get out of here, we always leave with a word from our sister. Sister Carolyn, and the word for yesterday was this: things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. And I can say he saw me through yesterday, and he's going to see us all through today. And today, as we finish up this word, when we continue to worship, our worries will continue to wither. Have a worshiping Wednesday, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that you are set because you are in the family. You belong to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for another day that you have given us. We're going to rejoice in it. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in kindness because Jesus is kind, and we're going to be kind to mercy and not sacrifice. For the Lord desires that of us, to be merciful and to know that he is in charge of everything. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Thank you, Mother Rita. Thank you all. Evangelist, thank all of you that are listening today. Thank God for each and every one of you. May your day be blessed as we have our sister Carolyn say, a worshiping wing. Take the Lord with you wherever you go. And I pray for those that are fasting that God gives you the strength to follow his will and not yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work, y'all. Pastor Jesse, have a blessed day. And I know you got to go to work because you work for the Lord. We all do.
Amen.
So let's go to work, y'all. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.
All right, you too. Love you.
Love you too, Pastor.